You're listening to the Bold True Life podcast with Hannah and Maimuna. We're sisters, life coaches, and we have honest conversations about what it takes to blaze your own trail in life.
This means we'll be talking about the triumphs and the struggles of showing up to our lives with authenticity, courage, and mindfulness. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, I'm just popping in to let you know that this episode is the second half of our two-part series premiere. If you haven't listened to the first one yet, you'll probably want to pause this episode and catch the previous one first. You can find it on our website at boldtruelife.com/podcast or your preferred podcast player. So I guess I'm starting with a similar question to your last one. I'm curious, what got you interested in making this podcast? How did you get here?
Okay. So just a little bit of background. I am a mom of four, and for the last few years, I have taken unconventional paths in other spaces. So I feel like I've just gone in every avenue, like with our health, I'm more holistic. I'm not going to necessarily go to the conventional medicine side, although I don't shun anything. A lot of my pathways, like for school, for my children, I've homeschooled and I've put my kids in school. And so I have just done my own thing generally. And so I'm a very curious person and also nosy a little bit. And then like there's people who fascinate me. I just want to talk to them all day. That is my dream job.
Yeah.
That and deep sea diving, weirdly.
Wow.
Randomly. Anything ocean fascinates me. So if I could have a job that would pay me and that would be it, that would be just, you know, amazing to just sit and pick people's brains and learn from them. So like you, those conversations in the past, and I do this with just, and I think you can learn from anybody. You can learn from a six-year-old.
Oh yeah.
You know? And it's funny, my husband always teases me because he's like, you don't know the basic things about people, but you know like their fear or something. I'm like, you're right. I barely know their name and I don't try to be like that. So I know I can't just jump in with people. But when I get people that will go on the deep end, that connection pretty much happens. And then we go down that path. So that's part of the other reason for coaching, to kind of answer your question, is that that's what you get to do. And it is a partnership. You're not here. You do have goals, and goals are important. But in the end of the day, get to know yourself and let me just be a fly on the wall where you're doing that. And I can just ask you questions. And it helps me learn about myself. So if I see my clients doing something, if I see my clients falling into a type of thinking or way of thinking, it's very likely that I'm doing that too somewhere in my life. And so it just really helps me grow, watching them grow, being in their life. Like I don't have to make the same mistakes, or I don't have to there's just parts of people's lives I will never have access to because that's just not my life. And so I get to learn all this stuff vicariously. So I think that's really kind of why I wanted to do this podcast, is just to be able to have an excuse to ask these personal questions and just even if it's not personal, but just the things I want to know. Yeah.
Just talking to people. Yeah, I think we're in agreement on that. And it's funny, my mom once said to me, I'm shy, or like I'm known as a shy one in our family, I think. But she once said to me, which is so true, and I think it's very true about you too, Mooney, that I could make friends with a tree. Because like every time, and you know, my husband says the same thing, because I'll walk out of bathrooms talking to people.
About you. Yeah. No, I can't do that. That's weird enough. I can't. You know what you do? You go into a room and find someone that's a little bit on the outside of that room and you connect with them. Like your sensitivity helps you pick up on that. And that's true. Maybe, it's like for me, once I get someone in front of me, I can be good friends with them.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing. When you're around, it's same concept. Like when you're around a new people or a new person, like you really could, if they're willing to answer your
Right.
deep questions, like you're, you know,
Right.
if
Yeah.
they go beyond that surfacey stuff with you, like you, yeah, you will. You might not remember, you know, their name or where how old they are, but you will,
Right.
like you'll have a great conversation with them, and you'll be able to, like, you'll walk away with that sense of
Yeah.
connection with them.
Yeah.
And I think we definitely we have that particular thing in common. We could both make friends with a tree.
If the tree was willing to answer their deepest, darkest fear.
And
So
yeah, and
yeah, I
also,
can't do the small talk as easily anymore.
yeah, and I think I do. I have a hard time with small talk too, but I think people can read your intention almost like in your conversations. And so when they have this sense that you do actually care beyond just that
Yeah.
basic stuff, that's when they're usually more willing to open up to you.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So, what was the question? Sorry,
It was
got off
just you
track.
answered it perfectly. I it was what got you interested in doing this podcast and kind of
Okay.
along those lines, like this particular work, which you answered both. And next, I wanted to ask you about one of the recurring themes actually that we've had come up as we've been discussing this podcast and planning, you know, to work on the website and everything together. Identity keeps coming up for us. And so I wanted to ask if you could share, we talked a little bit about it already, but if you could share a bit more about our background really with everybody, but also the role that it's played in your sense of identity.
Wow, this is such a big topic, and I feel like we could do a whole many
Episodes.
conversations on, yeah, episodes on this. So the question is like, what role has just the whole topic of identity played in my life?
And I think, you know,
Okay.
recently especially, I guess you've tried a lot of different things, which you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Speaking of
Yeah.
unconventional, by the way, if you think we have an unconventional upbringing, just wait till your kids have to talk about theirs, because
That is true.
they've had a
That
whole
is
lot more
true.
interesting stuff than we have. But yeah, just between, you know, all that, you're a mom, you're a homeschooler slash school sender, I don't know what the term
Yeah,
is for
what you,
this.
yeah, right.
And then you're also, you know, you've tried a couple of different business things. You are a coach. You know, you're just doing so many different things with your life, and you're kind of doing all of them all at the same time. So.
It's funny you say that because when you say it like that, it makes me sound like I'm doing more than I feel like I'm doing because it's been such a gradual process getting here. So I'll answer your identity question a little bit. I think growing up the way we grew up helped me. I was just like, well, I don't fit in anyway. So just F it. I'm going to just do what I need to do, right? Like, I'll just be where I need to be. And also, weirdly enough, and again, it happened so gradually. So each one of those decisions came out of a need. It didn't come out of like, I'm just going to rebel against the system. That wasn't my thinking. It was just, oh, snap. This is like for school, my son at the time was 4 going on 5, and he literally could not sit still. And I knew there was no way he could go to kindergarten and be seated for more than like 5 minutes. He could not sit down for more than 5 minutes. So how is this child supposed to sit a whole day or a half day even in a classroom and listen to rules and follow instructions? And I recognized that it's not that he couldn't be trained to do it, but his body was not really ready at that point. He's just active. And so then I just had this fear that they're going to label him ADHD. He would just be a troublemaker because of the nature of how he is. And I didn't know that homeschooling was an option because I had this idea of what I had an idea of what homeschoolers look like. They look like really religious people that sat down and they were patients, number one, and they were organized. And maybe they weren't even religious, but they just had a whole community of their stuff. Whatever, whatever. I just had this idea. They live in the Midwest. Even if they got a better education, whatever that means, you would just have to work really, really, really hard at making that happen. And you'd have to be a teacher and you'd have to know how to teach. Like, I just had all of these misconceptions about homeschooling and what it could look like. And then also had a community and friends at the same time that were considering it or that were doing it. got introduced to some people. And also, I was totally fine. Like, I actually wanted to be at home with my kids when they were little, but I didn't see myself as a stay-at-home mom forever. And so identity in that sense, like, I just keep, and I still keep coming up against this idea of who I am, and then a need arises for me to be something different. And so you just start negotiating your identity from there. And when you have this possibility, when you're not so attached to looking and being a certain way, you can be flexible. And so that's just a lesson I've learned over the years, you know?
And how did you do, like, the getting unattached or disattached? I don't know what the word is, but was it just each experience just gave you?
Yeah, I think each experience makes you less scared of changing. But having mentors and coaches and having these conversations essentially is what did it. It was really other people holding space for you to figure it out, just knowing how to properly hold space for you. That was everything.
Okay. Good points. Thank you. Also, on a similar note to what we've been talking about, I want to talk a little bit more about personal development, coaching. You've been on this path for a while now, and you mentioned, you know, having mentors and having space held for you, and this process of learning to hold space for other people too. So you've been doing it for several years now, probably going on a decade or so, I would say. I'm curious to hear more about how it's affected your life and what parts of your life it's affected.
You have these, like, wide open questions.
I,
like,
know. You did such a good job.
Do you want me to take a year to tie into this?
You did such a good job of, like, making mine so specific. And we, you know, we did not plan this. So, like, I went the total opposite direction of her. And I was like, I'm going to, like, leave lots of room.
So say that again.
So just this
personal development. What areas did it help me in?
How has it affected your life? Yeah, in any sense. Okay. So you can talk about specific areas.
Okay, so I'll just go back. So my whole thing around personal development, I think everyone's trying to help themselves. Everyone's trying to make their lives better, or be happier, or something. You know, everyone's going for something. So I don't even know how to answer this. I think it started off. I'll just start with a story because that's the easiest thing. This is something that sticks out in my mind. When I first picked up the phone and called Sarah, who's the psychologist that you mentioned earlier, she was a homeschooler and she was one of the mentors around homeschooling and part of the community. And she was also a psychologist and she counseled people in the community. And so I met her through a friend and we became, you know, serendipity, we became really good friends, personal friends. And I didn't know her at the time. I called her, but again, I mentioned Issa, who was my oldest son. Sorry, Issa, you're being thrown under the bus. When he was young, he was, again, like, he was pretty active. And this one day he took a glass of, like, a clear glass, and he shattered it on purpose. I think he was 3 or 4 at the time. At that point, I was like, oh my God, I think I need therapy. I don't know what I'm doing as a parent. It was one of those moments. I really need help. And so I called her and she called me back. And I don't even know at the point that I called her, but it was around something around, I am failing as a mom and I really need help. I remember that conversation and she was like, you know, we're stretched thin as women. We're stretched thin as mothers in general. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's true. Okay, so what do I do about this child? How do I deal with this? What do I do? And then she started asking me. She didn't tell me. There was no advice given. I was like, wait a minute. She just kept asking other questions. And it helped me think. That's what it did. It helped me believe that I have the tools that I need. I just need a space to think. And she asked me, why did he do that? And I was like, because he's just a menace. And she was like, he's 3, he's not a menace. What was his point? Like, I was like, I think that was fun for him. Like, he wanted to see. He didn't know, he was curious. And she was like, well, is there a safe place way that you could let him do that? I was like, break glass on purpose. I guess we could get goggles on and go outside. Not that I entertained it, and I don't think she meant for me to, but the whole thing that was she downloaded, well, like the boy is curious and that's his problem. Or that's your problem, and you need to find a place where he can play that out. He's not a menace. You're not a bad mom. We're okay. And so she, especially her, with the other moms in the community, the homeschooling moms, one problem after other like this, tackled it one by one. You know, I'd freak out and they'd be like, oh, it's okay. You're not a bad mom. They're not bad kids. You know, you're going to be fine. Coaching needs to help you in your life. Where do you get stuck? Where do you're not going to like take this any one class or course or whatever. You're just going to learn how to manage one situation after the next. So, the consistency, if I had this one conversation and hung up, it would have done nothing. But the cons I mean, it would have done something, but nothing much. But the consistency to have a place to keep going back to that kind of a space where you can think through, you know, you have some tools, it bleeds into everything. And I think the biggest place that it's helped me is in my relationships, and that for me, that's like the most important thing. How do I go from being an inexperienced mom who doesn't know what she's doing really? Even though I saw my mom raising me and you, but I didn't come with, I mean, I kind of was a brat, you know, when I
And
started.
you mean you didn't have like an instruction manual when Issa was born? He didn't
Right.
come with.
And so back home, the one thing I appreciate is that you're around other kids a lot, whether they're your own or they're not. And I didn't have that really, an understanding how to deal with, okay, at 3, this is what they can understand. At 4, this is what they can take in. Like it was just trial and error with my own. And again, Abaya, our mom, she would just be like, "What are you freaking out about? Why are you so upset?" And like looking back, I had very unreasonable expectations for this child. And I would get all bent out of shape about it. And it's really just like that. With my relationship with my husband, with my relationship with my mom, with you, with my own friends. If you don't know how to relate to other people, everything gets messed up. I think the relationships is where it's really helped me. And that helps me be functional in every other way. Yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely
That's
relate
just
to that.
my
I think relationships have been like one of the biggest
Yeah.
pieces of my life that have changed over the last few years of doing this. And I think, you know, just even I think you can agree, my relationship with myself,
Yeah,
figuring that out helped me to figure out all the other relationships too.
I mean, all of it. And I think the other thing I have to say to this is such a big topic again. One of the biggest things, one of the like most earth-shattering in a good way that this has helped me with is my relationship to whatever you want to call it. I'll call it God. That's been huge for me. You know, like my identity, this also answers the identity as a Muslim. It doesn't look like what it did 10 years ago. It's much more wide open. It's not as narrow. There's a lot of things that have slowly shifted over time. And that answers the whole question of these major existential questions that we don't ever really have a final answer to, but like, why am I here? What am I doing? Why is anyone here? What's the point? You know, where are we going after we die? Just to have this conversation and this constant connection to that. What that sounded like, my answers before, and what that sounds like now is just very different. And then you relate to your whole life differently. You can deal with what's happening in your life differently. The people around you, who you choose to surround yourself with, all of that changes when your life purpose changes. And so I think the specific type of coaching that I've received has been very intertwined with spirituality. You know, how, like, we're going to be talking about that, I'm sure, on the podcast, and definitely on the blog, or definitely in our classes. That's going to be a big part of it.
All three, probably.
Yeah. And in psychology, they have a term called existential psychology, you know, and that's like such so core. If you don't have that piece, like you can feel good in the moment. You could have your goal for your career. You could get, you know, better in a relationship. But what's the point anyway? What was the point again? You can hit that goal and the next, then you die, you know? So why are you here? And how do you connect to the bigger picture?
And you got all of that because your 3 or 4 year old broke a glass. So I guess in the end of the day, you apologized to Issa earlier, but I think really you have him to thank for like everything that's happened since.
Right. And that's the other thing. It's like all of this stuff are just, they're just topics. They're not the real issue. They're just topics, right? They're not the real issue. And who I have to thank, I would say, are the people, you know, everyone has something to, has contributed. There have like been a lot of people in my life. What everybody has learned and put in has been helpful. And then the mistakes and failures have also been great teachers. Yeah.
So just a little bit of everything. Yeah, really every experience, every person, if we're paying attention, we can get something out of all of it.
Yeah. Those were really long answers. I hope you guys are still here till the end. If anyone's still with
us? Just a couple more questions.
Oh my God. Okay,
and then we're done. And these are, I think these are much more specific. You've actually heard me ask this question before, but the answer is a little bit different every time I ask it, I think. So it's really a two-part question in one. Can you tell us something that you've been struggling with these days? So something that you struggled with recently, or maybe you're even struggling with right now. And also one thing that you're grateful for.
Those are good questions. One thing that I'm struggling with, like just even recently, and this has been the theme of my life, is overwhelm. And I know what the answer is focusing on one or two things. But oftentimes I feel like I can't and I don't have that luxury. So because there's 4 kids, 4 human beings that really need a mom, and they don't just have like physical needs. That's the easy part, but like their emotional needs are there. And if I feel like I've neglected that, then I feel bad about myself altogether. And then there's this baby that we have, this podcast and blog that we're working on, and it needs a lot of attention and love. And then there's just the day to day, like whatever, you got to eat, you got to sleep, you gotta clean, you gotta all that stuff.
And then there's just the coaching work that you do. I know that takes up a good amount of time too.
Yeah. So. Just trying to find a system that works within, and then it keeps changing and transitioning. So I'm struggling with, and the thing that I always leave till, which is silly, I think in some ways, like till the end, the thing that I hate and avoid is usually housework. Like that's the last thing that I just don't want to deal with. And so that ends up overwhelming me. And I keep forgetting it actually really affects your mood. And so I'm realizing, I'm listening to that book. What is that book called? The Magic of Tidying Up or something.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
The magical something of tidying up. Anyways, I know what you're talking about.
But it's by this Japanese woman. And the one thing that she was, you know, and this is kind of what we teach in coaching too, is like tackle things a little bit at a time. Tackle things a little bit at a time. And she's like, no, don't do that. When you do this, you need to handle it all at once. Get rid of your clutter. Get rid of what you don't need. And that's exactly it. So I realized like, and I keep starting. But then get distracted by life. And then, you know, we've done purges in our house. You have to. There's no way that I can, you know, live without that. But she says, whatever you need to do, set a week, set a whatever, you need to do it all at once or it will not make an impact. You know, doing this little bit at a time thing just makes you discouraged because it gets right back to being overwhelming again. And, you know, I feel like that's true. We say tackle things a little bit at a time, but we also mean focus on one thing at a time. And so I keep forgetting that how much that piece affects me. And I find myself like, ugh, I don't want to do anything, you know, I'll go and watch this TV show or I'll go and, you know, get on my phone, or, you know, you just distract yourself doing things that are not really what you want and not meaningful for you. And then when you're coaching, when I'm coaching as well, sometimes you're getting people who are in places they're heavy, you know, they're heavy places. And so you need to make room for that in your life, you know? And so you can't have both happening, clutter in your mind and clutter in your home and clutter in your business. You can't, it's just, so I'm struggling with trying to figure out that dance of how do I reduce the clutter altogether? How do I take out the time to actually do that and then not worry that I'm going to drop the ball on the other stuff? And then how do I make myself see it through to the end? So that's been a struggle, and it's been good. You know, it's been good to kind of, you just make these little connections along the way, and then you figure it out and you're like, oh, okay, that's where I'm getting stuck. A lot of people are overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And for me, I think that piece that's overwhelming right now is I'm realizing I really need to minimize stuff just so I don't have to clean as much stuff. Because I hate cleaning, so I might as well like not have as much stuff. And I need to do it all in one go, and it needs to be drastic enough so that I can pick up the other things in my life.
Yeah, and it's hard minimizing stuff when you have, you know, six people to account for in the living space too. So,
So the other thing, what am I grateful for? Yes. Man, there's a lot. I'm really grateful that my relationships have turned a corner. I definitely feel like there's a difference in quality. My close friends are really important to me. Family, you know, we talked about family being overseas, many of them. And so for me, my family are like my parents and you, and then my close friends are like family. And you know, husband, obviously, and kids. But support system, I feel like my relationship to my support system with my support system has turned a corner, and it's not come cheap. You know, it's come with many struggles in between, a lot of anxiety as we've, you know, hit these walls or ceilings, like we like to say. They're not walls, they're ceilings. You have to bust through the ceiling and get to the next level. And just, you know, there was a time where there's just like we were stuck. I was stuck in some relationships. And now that they've turned a corner and I'm like, oh, we got through that. We can get through anything. You know, we got through that. We can get through anything. And I feel like that's happened, you know, with my kids, with my marriage, with you, like we're getting to place. I'm actually quite nervous because we're really starting to get close. And I don't want it to mess up.
Yeah.
But I think hitting these kind of tougher spots or trickier spots in other places, because I feel like no matter how much you love someone and how close you are just going to come up against, you know, I'm limited, you're limited. We each have our own like particular buttons, and they, at some point they will collide.
And they have.
Yeah, and we've gotten through them, but nothing big, really.
Yeah.
I'm almost like waiting for the big one to hit.
Like the other shoe to drop and like.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm okay because I've had other big shaky hits with other major relationships, and we've turned out fine. So I feel like we'll be fine too. But in the moment, it's just, it's hard to take, you know?
Yeah,
so.
It's a little, like, it really throws you off for a while there. Like, it's hard to come back from it, so.
Yeah, but I feel like, and it's really, like, in the end, needed to happen, and it's good. I wouldn't avoid it and go back to what it was. No way.
Yeah,
no way.
And I think, like, the nice thing for both of us going into this is just, like, you know, we haven't had, like you said, like any major stuff, but like having had a couple of those experiences already, like I think we're seeing that, you know, we can figure it out. We can work through these things.
Yeah.
And like, I think we're getting more comfortable just telling each other when something's bothering us. And I also,
And we're sisters, so that's kind of like a safety net because, like, I'm not going away.
like we kind of have to deal with each other, like no matter what. And so it's great in that, like, we really can say anything to each other, and then it's not great in that same way, like, like
Like, more is
sometimes,
at stake when it happens.
But I think just the nature of the work that we do too, we kind of both have these tools that we can use. We're more prepared than the average pair of siblings or anyone who's going to end up doing stuff like this. And we really do come from like a family of entrepreneurs and people who work with each other. Like so much of our family runs businesses and does projects and things, and they all work together. So we kind of have a lot of we have some good positive social proof of it's possible.
And also, like, those values were passed down to us without us having to try so hard to make them a value.
We can do this, and we're meant to work together, and like, why not? Like, it helps everybody when you do it that way. So,
For sure.
yeah. Okay. Final question.
My God,
So,
can you remind me not to talk so much?
we're on the last question. We're almost there. And this one, yeah, I'll cut you off at 10 minutes, but I think you can, I think you can get it done before then. So, what does a bold true life mean to you or look like for you personally? In your personal life, what does that feel like, look like, mean?
For me, it's twofold. So a lot of times when people think of bold, I'm not really the image of, like, somebody who's going to be jumping off planes or, like, doing a bucket list or anything like that. Although I feel like that can be integrated and needs to be integrated in some way, shape, or form. So for me, it's an internal state of mind. And if I can be more honest with myself, if I can go after what's important to me, regardless of, I don't want to say regardless of what people think, but regardless of considering what the people who matter think, and trust my instincts. I don't know how to answer that, like, tangibly. So that's what that looks like to me, being really true to myself. And when you're really true to yourself, I mean, that's this kind of stuff that people say, but, and it's a little cliche, but when you are, like, just from experience, that looks like sometimes being weird, sometimes being the outlier, sometimes saying the thing that's really unpopular, sometimes making people mad. Not always, but, that really looks like it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. That looks like cutting people off sometimes. That looks like disassociating yourself with a certain type of whatever activity. And so for me, the inner tools that it takes to get to that place to keep doing that, that's what a bold true life looks like. And also, like, it would be great if I can throw a few things on a bucket list inside of there. And sometimes it's really that simple. Like, I don't really have an interest in bungee jumping, but like, there's certain things I've never
Deep
taken
sea
time to why.
diving.
There you go. Deep sea diving. Like, I need to go snorkeling or something. So I've just never taken the time to do that. And, as a priority, sometimes putting your joy before all the necessity stuff, So, it just depends, like, just trying to balance all that out. So sometimes there's bucket list stuff in there, or just even being like, this is dumb. We live in the suburbs around DC, but it's taken me forever to get comfortable with being in the city. I can't stand it. People drive crazy. Like, it makes me uncomfortable. There's so much richness there, but I just don't go. It's just different, and it's hard, and I'll just avoid it because it's, like, like, oh,
We have that in common in that, like, I
so I'll,
think growing up around it too, you take it for granted. Like, you're like, it's always
hey,
there.
yeah, so things like that. Like, sometimes it's really dumb stuff, and sometimes it's the bigger stuff.
Yeah, that deep sea diving thing, though, I have to say, I did not know that about you. That's
I
very
just
interesting.
love, yeah. I feel like I could have in another life been, I don't know, like an ocean researcher or something.
Oh, wow. And like that idea, it actually terrifies me. Like the idea of...
Me too.
It's like, I find that to be like one of, I think, you know, I don't want to do any of it, but I think if I had to choose between deep sea diving and bungee jumping, I think I would bungee jump.
Really?
Like that's how scary I find it, but I don't want to do either one of those things. You know, but I am curious, I guess, right before we end, anything else random on your bucket list? Just...
I mean, okay, talk about cliche, traveling more, really.
Any particular places you want to go?
Places. Since you've been to Turkey, and now I have quite a few Turkish friends, and like it's come up in conversation a lot, that's just been some place I want to see.
Oh yeah, you should definitely do that one.
Yeah, and South Africa, I want to see. I want to see Madagascar. I want to.
We can arrange for that, Moni. I want to see it too. My husband is from Madagascar. For everyone who doesn't know, so
yeah,
we're trying to go one day.
Yeah, Australia, New Zealand, like everywhere, really. Yeah. I don't know if I have a priority right now. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Okay. Alrighty. So if we have anybody listening in any of those countries and you would like to host a visit.
If you would like to host us, we are there. Even if you're not there, anywhere else in the world. Yeah. Hey.
Let us know. We'd be happy to visit you.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, on that note, that's all of my questions for you. Any final words? Any last things you want to say before we end this?
I think for the most part, I think I just want to say welcome to everyone. This was our first episode, and we're like, if you're still listening, man, thank you so much.
Yeah, like, really. Thank you. Yeah.
So, and just welcome. Leave us your comments. Feel free to contact us. You know, we're here and excited about this.
Yes, get in touch. We're going to be having more conversations like this with each other, probably focused on very specific topics from now on. But we'll also be inviting guests and interviewing people. So you'll be hearing from all kinds of professionals in different areas and different worlds. But we're really going to be focusing a lot on the personal development side of things, that aspect of stuff with them.
So. You know, I really like Brené Brown says courage is contagious. And I think that's really what I'm particularly going for. I want to talk to other courageous people because it is courageous. Fear is contagious too. You know, constantly being like worried and anxious. Anxiety is contagious too. You pick that up from other people.
Yeah.
And so let's do this thing. Do whatever it is that you kind of, what's your next step in life? What's slightly uncomfortable, but something you really want to do or figure out, and just be a space for that for people. So, yeah.
That sounds great. Okay, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. We hope you're with us again soon. We'll be having episodes coming out, I think, every 2 weeks as of right now. But we'll let you guys know if anything changes. So check us out. Thank you all for listening. We will be back soon, and we're so happy to be here.
Bye.
You made it to the end. Thanks so much for listening.
Don't forget to subscribe, and you can find us at boldtruelife.com/podcast or your podcast player of choice, including iTunes, Stitcher, and Google.
We would love to hear your thoughts on today's conversation.
If you like what you hear, please take 2 minutes of your precious time to rate and review.
It really helps us out. Thanks.